The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor, brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. This week we are discussing creative agencies. And my guest is Mark Connolly, MD of Marketing Mavens. Mark, welcome. We're going to talk about how to brief, or perhaps how not to brief, a creative agency. Can we sort of start with a little bit about how a creative agency might approach a client, as in approach a brief or a contract? So perhaps that'll help people understand how they can help a creative agency do the best for them.
Yeah, it's vitally important to have a brief. One of the sort of main issues when you bring on a client is they will have a picture in their head, they will have a vision in their head of what, you know, it could be, I don't know, new packaging, or it could be a new website. They will have a picture in their head, and it's ultimately up for the marketing agency or even just the marketer, the internal marketer, to get that out of their head. And a brief is a great way to do that. A brief is a great way because it essentially asks specific, you know, questions around about what they're actually looking for, and it helps them. It helps paint a picture, essentially. It stops it, you know, further down the line. It stops, you know, the time that is wasted between, you know, this isn't really what, you know, fits what I want, because what's been sent over has been on an email or, you know, in the back of a piece of paper of what they want. So it's really, really important for you, you know, for a business or a marketing agency or a marketing person to really understand, you know, the needs and the wants of what the customer is doing it. And a brief does that, and a creative brief does that.
So is there a sort of formal structure for a brief? I mean, in at Marketing Mavens, do you send out a brief that you want the client, a template brief you want the client to complete?
Yes. So basically, some of the briefs, there is a standard structure, but there are certain briefs that are slightly different for different pieces of content assets. Because as you probably know, if I was going to be doing a flyer, for instance, I'm going to have to put in, you know, technical requirements there, which could be pixel sizes, it could be, you know, like specific, you know, DPI of images. Whereas if I'm asking for, you know, a piece of content like a blog, then I wouldn't need the technical requirements. However, what you want to do, so if I take you through the key parts of what of a standard creative brief, you really want to probably give the project a name. So there's obviously the project's a name. It could be new website or your Marketing Maven's new website. You want to probably provide a company background. What I usually try to say on briefs is try and provide, they have to be sort of short and snappy, but try to provide as much quality information as you possibly can. The reason being, later down the line, it gets away from that question. It wasn't in the brief, so that's why it wasn't included. So you want to try and make sure that everything is included, the important parts are included. So a company background is quite good. It sets the scene. It gets you to understand what's important about the business, what's quite unique about the business over, you know, competitors, and that helps sort of you get an understanding. You then want to have an objective of what that, you know, what the brief is going to do, what's the content piece going to do. So it's a new website that's going to help in, you know, build the brand, get more awareness out there. It's a Google Ads assets, you know, for, you know, basically helping you get more conversions. So you want to have make sure there's an objective, because then that sets it in the head. Because if it's a conversion, then you're looking, you know, as a marketing agency, I need to make sure that there's call to actions in here. I need to maybe be asking questions. what is the specific call to action? If it's awareness, then I'm going to be asking slightly different questions. Target audience as well is very important. Now, this is one that is funny between, you know, different personas, essentially. You've got, you know, managing directors of companies, and then you probably get marketing people. A marketing, you know, person's target audience, they can probably go into a little bit more detail into, you know, certain ages, certain, you know, like generations, are they millennials, are they Generation Z? Whereas you probably find like a managing director will be like, you know, construction worker, you know, somebody that likes retail. So it's very light. You also want to maybe add in some competitors there. With competitors, it depends on how you do this with the brief. So if it's a certain asset and the competitors have certain assets, I would probably try and include links to this and links to what the competitors have been doing, so that you try and, you know, for us as a marketing agency, you want to make sure that the company looks different and there's a differentiation there. Key messages are important. What key messages have to be included? This could be slogans. This could be, you know, what's unique about the business. The benefits as well. A call to action, as I said, is very, very important. You know, what you're actually aiming for this brief to do, and then distribution. So how's this actually going to be distributed? So is it going to be in print? Is it going to be in digital? Is it going to be virtual? You know, so how's it all going to be doing distributed? And I would probably say they are the key points that you have to do. Now, it can slightly tweak them to fit your specific business, but just try and make sure that you have the main points in, and that covers off a lot of bases.
You said at the beginning that sounds beautifully structured, but I know myself sometimes I don't know what it is that I want from the brief, and I suspect you get that quite a lot. So you said you thought clients had pictures in their head. Do you ever get a client just sort of going, well, I don't know, you're the creative agency?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, all the time. Like you're the one that's. But I also feel that that's probably a nervous disposition on them, and it's trying to kind of set them at ease, because you're essentially putting them under pressure. Like, you know, what do you want? And it's like, oh, I don't, you know, I don't really know what I want. You know, because a lot of people are not 100% sure. It's probably about asking the right questions. Some of my briefs have evolved. Rather than just having headings, it could be company background, you know, and like types of things. So you have like filler content and ask you the slight questions like, what, you know, company background, looking for, you know, key messages, you know, you can say when the company started, how many employees are in the company. So you ask kind of, you know, small filler questions within the box, and then they can go, all right, this is what I'm actually looking to provide here. It's similar with target audience as well. As I was saying to you, you know, the reason being because I have sent it to managing directors before, and you get a little, you know, you get less information. The way that I found is just, the way it evolved is me getting on the phone and I actually phoned the person and said, right, actually, I probably need a little bit more detail. And then what I found is, it improving the brief is then I started adding these questions within the brief and just within the box where they're going to be filling it out, so they can delete it once they answer the question. And this helps a lot, because it's asking the right questions that is essentially going to get you the right answers and what you need to have a good brief.
And so I'm very intrigued by this. So that you said that the client has a picture in their head, but I'm sort of just trying to get a little bit more about how you get from they've got a picture in their head to you working out what it is they want. So a brief is obviously quite a structured brief is clearly one way of doing it. Are there any other things that you have to do in order to just try and get them to verbalise what this picture is?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, like having phone calls and meeting up with people, that's a lot of the time, you know, speaking to people with that. If I've got somebody come on and say, like, I want a new website, I can say to them, like, what type of websites do you like? You know, so the picture in their head, they probably would have seen, I don't know, a competitor website. It could be, you know, Apple's website. It could be BBC's website. There could be something that's in there. I would then say, right, what do you like specifically about that? You know, like, give me 3 to 5 websites that you like. And then that gives that helps me paint the picture of what they're visualising. And then I can start to delve a little bit more into that.
Of turning you into a sort of psychiatrist trying to sort of lie the client down on a couch and say, what's in your head? But presumably, if you
like
don't get
sometimes.
That bit right, the client won't be happy.
Yeah, it's exactly, it is like that. And if the client's happy, then they'll blame that part at the start. Unhappy anyway, they'll blame that part at the start anyway. But yeah, it's a whole relationship, isn't it? It's trying to get to know someone as well. It's trying to get to know what they like, because people are very different. You know, what somebody, you know, likes one day, the other person doesn't like. So it's essentially trying to make sure that you get that out, and it's only really by asking questions that you're going to get that, and it's asking the right questions essentially.
So that's going to be actually my next issue, that you can get clients that, you know, one person will sign it off and then the next person doesn't like it. And we've all been in that position that somebody thought it was great and then somebody else blocks it. So again, as an agency, how do you deal with that? Because you must be dealing with that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, sometimes it's great when you get the main decision maker and it's the brief and it's signed off. There can be a lot of cooks in the kitchen, essentially, and what some people like is what some people don't like. What I've actually found is going through some sort of approval process. So actually, from the very, very start, what I have to say, Kieran, is like, you know, who are the people that are involved in this? You know, who are the project team? And tell me, like, exactly who is in the project team. So, this is the person that is doing the sort of day-to-day, but we have to get, you know, James or, you know, Paul to actually approve and sign it off. So you're working through the brief to get it to a point, and then it has to then go to approval for the final, you know, that's okay, I agree with that. And that sometimes, it works that way sometimes in a marketing and then managing director. So when we're speaking to the marketing people, that's where we're building out the brief, and it sometimes then goes to like a commercial director or a managing director of a company, and they have to approve it. There is sometimes that you have to go through meetings and basically pitch that to them, essentially. So you're really sort of pitching the brief of what it's actually going to look like. There might be sometimes that you have to design up some prototypes and things like that as well. So you're designing up some rough ideas just to show what it would look like as well, you know, before actually creating the brief, just sometimes so they can actually visualise exactly what it is. I'd probably say as well that, you know, adding in is maybe a little bit of, you know, pushback sometimes on people are sometimes like really, really visual people. And that's where it works quite well with, you know, here's a type of a website, here's a flyer, here's some content assets, and they look at them and go, oh, that's really good. But then you've got some people that, you know, really like reading and going through and getting into the detail, and that's essentially where you have to make sure that you balance that properly. And again, it goes back to the start of just trying to, you know, even ask that question, are you more of a visual person or are you more of a sort of detailed person, and trying to understand that from the outset.
I mean, I have to say, as somebody who briefs agencies, I am not a visual person. Funnily enough, I'm a very orally based person, which is why I do podcasting. And I can often really struggle because the creative agency is usually, by definition, is visual and will be asking me what I'm looking for. And I'm sort of, I don't know. I'll know what it is when I hear it. So you can have quite a disconnect somebody who's briefing an agency as opposed to the agency.
Yeah, it definitely can be, and I think it's probably a bit of a skill, as you said at the start. It's a bit of kind of psychology to try and get that out, and because there's different people, but there's a bit of a skill of just trying to make sure that the right questions are getting asked in the brief, and it comes with experience and working with, because what you'll probably find with working with a new agency it's a little bit difficult because they just don't get you. They just don't get you that you, mm-hmm. you know, you're more into like the audio of speaking to someone. And they'll be trying to, yeah, we're going to come along to this meeting and we're going to pitch this to you. And you're like, well, I don't really need that just now. So there's a mm-hmm. little bit that comes with experience as well. And trying to actually get to know the person. Because as I said before, it's a big thing is about relationship, and it's trying to understand the person. It's probably a bit like dating, isn't it? If you were like speed dating with someone, you're trying to get all that information out of them, and then basically you know build that sort of relationship. Whereas it comes over time, you know, building that relationship comes over time to actually get the ultimate brief.
This is brilliant. We've gone from psychology to speed dating. I love it. So, Mark, spill beans. Tell me some of the things that clients have done that might completely drive a creative agency mad, because that will help people not to do those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the things that drive us mad is when they just get the briefs wrong, essentially, or they change it. Like, a lot of the things happen is they change it sort of halfway through, because the biggest problem is marketing agencies is scope creep. It's like you set mm-hmm. that time, you set the time for the brief, you set the time to do the work, and then halfway through the project, the client says, oh, actually, we want to change this. We want to kind of move it around. Or, you know, James was driving to work this morning and he's seen something different. We want to just change tactic and we want to change the call to action. Mm-hmm. It's making sure at the very, very start that you have complete agreement. This is what we're actually, you know, this is a briefing, this is the scope of work of what we're doing. Everybody sort of signs off and has that approved, because you don't really want to be changing it halfway through. It just adds on, you know, lots more time. And trying to, like, again, it's trying to get the detail off them as well and trying to get as much information as possible. I think it's quite frustrating sometimes when it comes back and you don't have that much information. And you, as you said yourself, it's like there's a frustration on both sides of parties. Like, you've got something in your head that you're trying to get out, and we're mm-hmm. we're essentially trying to get that out of your head. And there can be, that's the big thing, it could be a frustration where, you know, people just, I've not really got time to do, you know, I've not got time to sit here and, you know, talk about it. You come to me with all these ideas and it's like, well, you need to give me some information so I can give you some ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get stuck mm-hmm. We're going to essentially get stuck at that. Yeah, so basically the biggest one is changing the goalpost, essentially. That's the main thing that you usually get from, you know, clients. It doesn't happen often if you have nice clients.
And how do you manage that as an agency? Do you go back and say, actually, that's just scope creep?
To be honest, it's with some clients, it depends on the clients, to be honest, because you get some that are like, yeah, well, I don't care. It's, you know, I'm paying for value at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. it does have to be a communication point of view. So what I've found is I've been very specific of, this takes this long to do. We are on a sort of timer. You know, we do time mm-hmm. the work. Well, ultimately, we do want to get the value at the end of the day, but we do have a set amount of time. It's probably similar to, you know, budgeting as well. So when you're budgeting, you want to make sure that you know, if you've got 10 grand there, you want to make sure that, you know, you're going to, you know, spend that 10 grand of budget. But what sometimes people do within a budget is they set, you know, £7,000 is a budget, but the £3,000 is the buffer. And that's what I mm-hmm. have done and learned. So I set a specific time, but then I have a buffer of time. So I tell the client, yes, you actually have 7 hours, but they really do have 10 hours, because I do know there's going to be a back and forth. There may be, you know, something that happens, something that's not the client's fault, something that's not the agency's fault. Things just happen, adds in time. So it's important to have that little bit of a buffer so that you can watch for scope creep, essentially.
How do you manage clients' expectations of how long things take? Because I think clients can sometimes underestimate that a creative process actually takes time.
Yeah, I'm still trying to master that. It's different people, to be honest, Kieran. Some people expect it like it's going to, you know, I want a website and it's going to miraculously appear the next day. It literally is just trying to basically, you know, within proposals, within things like that, you do break it out. I've even grown a little bit more onto proposals because you get software like Vidyard and Loom, and actually explaining the proposal of like this, you know, this is a first phase. This is how long the first phase will take. This is the second phase. Now, the issue sometimes can be is like sometimes the second phase can go on for a little bit longer. It's not that the time's getting added up, it's just, you know, you don't have meetings, you don't, you know, things just don't happen within that time. So it's trying to make sure that you keep that constant communication happening back and forth.
Yes, I suppose it's easier as a client to understand that the agency is working on your behalf if you actually hear from them regularly. Otherwise it feels like a bit like a black hole.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, communication is key.
So if you had some top tips for somebody who wanted to brief a creative agency, what would you suggest?
I would definitely go to start building out a brief and trying to even send this around about internally as well, just to test the waters out. Essentially, again, is just, you know, what's happened with me is it's evolved. It has evolved. It wasn't like I had a creative brief from the very, very start, and it was like, that was the one that we used. It has evolved, and it's moved along. It's just as everything happens in business, even tactics and things like that all change. So you have to start to add these into briefs, or platforms change. So you have to add these into briefs as well. So things will evolve, but essentially I would just say, you know, eat the frog really, and just, you know, get onto it and do it. I would ultimately as well say, you know, don't get disheartened sometimes, because, you know, what you might find is you might get pushed back and say, I'm not filling out this, you know, this brief, I'm not going to be doing this. Have to just kind of say, well, no, this is the way that it's going to be, because it helps improve your process massively. So once you get that working and working well, and you have clients, or it's like internal, you can actually even think of, you know, large companies, you know, there's internal customers as well. Getting this process in place is going to save a lot of time, and that's what essentially your selling point is to other people. This is going to save us a lot of time down the line, you know, by doing this brief. If they complete the brief properly, then essentially they're going to get the output that they wanted, and it's going to save a lot of time, because there's, you know what it's like, there's email chains where you're adding in other people, and then other people are adding in some of their opinions. How do you actually pull all that information together, essentially? So a brief does that.
Mark Connolly, MD of Marketing Mavens, thank you very much indeed for your time and your insight, and I feel a lot better prepped now on how to brief in a creative agency.
You get a psychologist.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.